I'll not preach. I want to make a couple of comments to you. And then we're going to the house, all right? I don't have a note one. I wrote down a full page and about a third of another page and put it in the trash. But I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture out of Psalm 80, if you'll turn there, please. Psalms in chapter 80. Psalms and chapter number 80. And verses 14 and 15. The Bible said, "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself." Our Father, thank you, Lord, for this word tonight. I pray you'll bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want you to understand I'm Brother Hall's not preaching tonight, but I do want to talk to you a few minutes. And along the lines of this verse, and I believe really I talked myself out of preaching tonight as I sat in the upper room this evening there at the house and pondered this scripture, pondered this entire chapter and these scriptures in particular. I'm pretty well persuaded that I talked myself out of preaching in the service tonight. And I did so because of the theme that I was going to be preaching on or would have to preach on to preach from these verses. And I've got the feeling sometimes that I sound like a broken record when I preach so much on our need for the presence of God. Amen. To be in our services, to be in our church, to be in our midst. Amen. And apparently the Lord had withdrawn Himself from His people in these verses. Because the psalmist there says, "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts." Now, you know, there is an old saying, I've heard this all my life, that you never miss somebody until they're gone. And I think that's true about even loved ones, about family members and those that we love. I'd say that Brother Steve, that's not here tonight, but I'd venture to say that he never missed his daddy one bit until his daddy left here. But I'll guarantee he misses him now. And I could come to some of you in here tonight that your parents, your mothers, and your daddies have passed on to be with the Lord. And I'll guarantee you never missed them one bit until they left. But you miss them now. And I'd almost be willing to say we'd just about do anything that we could do to have them back, if we could get them back. I believe that is the mindset in the heart of Asaph as he writes this particular song, this psalm. "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold, and visit this vine." Apparently, the Lord had withdrawn Himself, and I think for particular reasons. The psalm, if you read through it, and I'm not going to take time to preach through it tonight. Come on in. Amen. But Israel finds themselves again in a very deplorable condition. It seems that they're like God's sheep, but they're scattered abroad. They have no shepherd, for He makes mention of the shepherd of Israel in verse number 1. And I'm sure that they feel like they're alone. They feel like they have no leadership. They feel like they have no protection. They feel like they have no provisions. We find all of those in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 here. And, you know, I'm afraid that that's probably the way that we find ourselves today. I would to God that God would stir up some people like Asaph, that would realize that God hath departed and would set their heart upon seeking the Lord. Well, the Bible said that they that seek me early shall find me. And I'll guarantee if we'll seek the Lord, we'll find Him. But you know, I think the sad thing is that a lot of people don't realize that God's gone. They don't really understand that the God of glory that used to kiss our services and used to draw nigh to our hearts and let us worship God has departed from our midst. And there's a reason that God departed from these people.
Amen.
And that reason was because of their sin.
Amen.
Because of their sin, they had taken God for granted. They had sinned against God. And consequently, God had departed from them. And that is a Bible principle. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if we neglect God, mark it down, God will eventually neglect us. Now, I want you to notice what the psalmist did. He simply petitioned God for his past dealings with his people. That's right. He made an appeal to God when he called him the shepherd of Israel. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. And he began to petition God for his past dealings with his people. In other words, Asaph said, Lord, if you led Joseph like a flock, then why have you deserted us today? Are we not the sheep of thy pasture just like Joseph was? And yet you led him like a shepherd, and us you've left scattered upon the hills, having no shepherd to give us direction and leadership for our life. And then he mentions, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. I believe here he's appealing to God's mercy. To God's mercy. God's mercy is found between, in those days, was found on the mercy seat, between those two cherubims. That's where God met in that tabernacle in the wilderness, was between those cherubims. And so he's petitioning God here for his mercy. And he's saying, Lord, how shall we serve God in your absence? And we cry out for mercy, Lord. Have mercy on your people. And return to us one more time. In fact, we beseech you, Lord, to return to us. He said, look down from heaven and visit us one more time. That has been my heart's cry for a number of years. It's for God to visit his people one more time and send that old-fashioned revival. In verse number 2, he appeals to God in another way. He said, before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Do you know that Benjamin and Manasseh, and Ephraim, those tribes where they were located behind, the tabernacle in the wilderness as it moved through the wilderness. And God put them back there because the devil's a heel biter. And he'll come up behind you and bite you. And God put those three tribes back there because of their strength that they might fend off or ward off those attacks from the devil when he attacks from the rear. And I'll guarantee you, he will attack you from the rear. Have not I preached that all these years that I've been there, that the devil will never confront you head on. He will always come up on your blind side behind you, and that's where the devil will attack. And that's what Asaph is pleading here. Lord, we've been blindsided. He's come up behind us and attack us. And then three times in this chapter, three times he mentions almost the same statement that he does in verse 3. He said, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved.
Amen.
In verse number 7, he says, turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And again in verse number 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now I want everybody to listen right up here. He said, first of all, Lord, return. And then he said, turn us. Return and turn. And Asaph realized that it took the power of God to turn his people in that day. And it will take the power of God to turn people in our day. And I've got three or four little thoughts here in my mind that we need to be turned from. Or I know these people need to be turned from. And one of them was self-will. They were a very self-willed people. Over and over and over again, you find Israel rebelling against the authority of God. and rebelling against the men of God, rebelling against the prophets of God, rebelling against the Word of God. And the reason they did that, church, is because they were self-willed. It is not God's will that they were looking for, but their will. And it was not God's will that they wanted to see accomplished in the earth, but it was their will. Oh, I'm telling you, our prayer ought to be, not my will, but thy will be done, O God. And I'm afraid that we are so self-centered and so selfish today that it is not what God wants in our life that we want, but it's what I want, God, and you're going to have to make your will line up with my will, or I'm not going to be happy about it. And I'm going to tell you something. God's will is not going to line up with your will. Your will had you on a spiral staircase headed for hell with no way off of it, until He divinely intervened and turned you around. And for a man to desire to do his own will today is folly. Why, it's foolishness. Because man's will, as I said this morning, man will self-destruct if he's left to himself. That's right. And I'm telling you, we're eat up with self-will today. And by the way, do you know that that is one of the characteristics of an apostate? Read the book of 2 Peter. He talks about them being self-willed. And they are self-willed. Men today are self-willed. I'm going to do my thing. That's basically what Miss Hall's cousin said to me yesterday. I've done my thing all my life, and I've enjoyed what I'm doing. But what are you going to do when it comes to the end of your life? Oh, you would to God you had done God's will and not your will. Self-will. It's a terrible, 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 terrible thing. Indeed it is. To do our own thing rather than minding the things of God Almighty. And I believe we're living there. I don't believe as many people really want God's will. Amen. It'll cost you something. Amen. To do the will of God. It'll cost you some friends. It might cost you some finances. Amen. It might cost you some time out of your own life. Amen. See, we want our time for ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, not for God. That's why so many people in America today can't make revival meetings over one time during the week. They're doing their own thing. Self-willed. Self-willed. Then I thought about self-worship. Worshipping the creature more than the Creator. Somebody said, Brother Hall, that don't go on inside Baptist churches. You better get your little eyeballs open, good buddy. Get your ears turned on and listen to what's going on in our churches. I've never seen people, as I'm seeing them today, that want the applause of men more than the glory of God in their life. Amen. They had rather please man than they would to please God. And therefore they become creature worshipers. Amen. Worshiping the creature more than the Creator. The Bible said, who is blessed forevermore. Amen and amen. Amen. And I think Asaph realized this. That where Israel was living, and he cried, return. Return. By the way, have I ever given you the thought that I was going to preach on? Dear Jesus, please come back. Amen. Dear Jesus, please come back. I thought about those scriptures, Brother Steve, that Brother Larry Raines quoted in that revival meeting years ago, and Doug Thompson came in right behind him and quoted the same scripture. That Jesus departed from out of their midst. I thought about the scriptures, especially two different scriptures in the Song of Solomon, where it seemed that the bride and the bridegroom were separated. And I thought about that. Dear Jesus, please come back. May I ask you tonight, where is the Lord in our day? Where is God tonight? Dear Jesus, please come back. Where is God in your home? What's God doing in your heart? What's God doing in your home? Those are the three issues right there. What God is doing in your heart, what God is doing in your home, and what God is doing down at His house. Dear Jesus, please come back. I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit of God is active. And if there is no spiritual activity transpiring at the church house, mark it down, God ain't there. Hello? If there's no spiritual activity going on in your heart to stir you up, God ain't there. Hello, dear Jesus, please come back. If there's no activity in your, I'm talking about spiritual activity in your home, amen. Guess who's not there? Dear Jesus, will you please come back? Please come back. Turn us. Return and then turn us. And in doing so, cause thy face to shine upon us that we shall be saved. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said that the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, and his ears are not heavy that he cannot hear. But our sins have separated between us and our God, and our iniquities have hid his face from us. The very next verse, I believe Isaiah said, turn and cause your face to shine upon us. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God's not going to look upon the back of our heads. If you look at Isaiah 1, they were going away from God backwards. God's not going to look at the back of our heads, and God cannot cause his face to shine upon us unless we're looking at God. Return and turn us. Return in power and turn us and cause thy face to shine upon us. And that word saved means delivered, and we shall be delivered. If God will just do that. Through the favor and grace of God, we shall be delivered if God will just do that. I've got two other of those things we need to be turned from. If I can remember them, I had them in my mind. You know how it is when you get half-timers. Self-will and self-worship. And there were a couple of others. I might think of them here in a little while. But I'm simply saying, Jesus, dear Jesus, would you come back to Island Ford Baptist Church? Would you come back, Jesus, and make the preaching a blessing? Would you come back, Jesus, and make the singing a blessing? Would you come back, Jesus, and make Sunday school a blessing? Would you come back, Jesus, and make my life a blessing? Would you come back, Jesus, and help me? Would you come back, Jesus, and make me holy? Dear Jesus, please come back. And look here, he talks about how God planted them, brought them up out of Egypt and planted them like a vine. Amen. He said, you brought us up out of Egypt and planted us like a vine. He said, would you visit this vine of yours one more time? Oh, it's all down through there. Thou brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. He said, you cleared a place and planted it. You deserted your garden spot. You cleared a place, planted it, and now you're gone. So what is it saying? Thou preparedst room before it and didst cause it to take deep root and filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were goodly cedars, and so on and so forth. Return, he said. Amen. Dear Jesus, please come back. I wonder if anybody in here tonight, down in your heart, the Bible said if any two people will agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done to them. I wonder if any two people in here tonight would agree on getting Jesus back. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I've never missed him. Some of you have and some of you haven't. Some of you he's working with and some of you he's not. And I can tell you where he is and where he ain't. I can tell when some people come to church disgusted because they're there. Dear Jesus, please come back. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray tonight. And see if you can engage your heart into a covenant with Him. To agree with Him. Not me. Agree with Him. To come back. To come back. Sometimes he draws nigh and he tries to break in. I've seen him do it over and over again. He's tried to break in again. And for some reason, there's such resistance that he can't. He'll draw nigh. I'd rather have him nigh than to have him nowhere. But we need him in the midst. It's one thing to be nigh, it's another thing to be in the midst. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to pray. And if you'd be willing to engage your heart, can I say this to you tonight? Some of you in here tonight, you're that close to losing your children. Oh, they're not old enough to leave the house yet. But you're that close to losing them.
Amen.
And you need him here and in the home.
Amen.
Please, Jesus. Dear Jesus, please come back. Heavenly Father, I thank you for that truth. I thank you, Lord, for the reality. I thank you for the Scriptures. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done in my heart this day. It seems, Lord, that I've hammered on this subject so frequently, so many times over and over again. Possibly, Lord, I've talked myself out of preaching the message tonight for fear, Lord, of even offending your people by the thought of it. I pray, O Lord, that you'd show mercy. Lord Jesus, that you'd cause your face to shine upon us and deliver us one more time. For Lord, we are the sheep of thy pasture. We are thy people. We are thy planted vine. You are the shepherd of our souls. I pray for mercy. That same mercy, Lord, that is between the cherubims that stand above the mercy seat. I pray, Lord, for grace, the favor of God, as your face shines upon us. You've planted us. I pray you'll continue to cultivate this vine, this plant, till it blossom and bloom and be fruitful for God. Help our hearts tonight, Lord, to engage the very heart of God and to learn, Lord, to be pleaders at the throne of grace, prayer warriors, that we might pray down the riches of God's grace upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't apologize for what I've done tonight. I really believe if I'd have preached, I'd just probably made folks a little more angrier or made some folks angry. Somebody said, "Preacher, you don't stand up here and get back what Brother Hall does." When I hammer so much on the presence of God, I'm sure some of you sitting out there wonders, why does he keep hammering on that? Because I miss him. I miss him. I really do. And it's a load. It's a load on the preacher. I'm going to be honest. I think another reason the Lord let me do that tonight is to let some of you see what a service would be like if I didn't preach. We went through every motion of service that we go through tonight except the preacher. And it's sad. Our testimonies. Some of you used to testify and you've quit. And when you've quit, that tells me that there's something between you and God or something. There's something wrong. And I'll tell you something. God's willing to make that thing right if you are. He's willing to get it right if you are. And there's very little joy in the testimonies that we do have. That's right. Dear Jesus, please come back. I'm glad he let us have the service we had this morning. I mean that. I'm so thankful he let us have the service we had this morning. I think that's one reason, like I said, he didn't let me preach on this tonight. After the service morning, come back and preach it. I don't think it'd have been right. I don't think it'd have been right. Well, God bless you. 25 minutes till 8. A miracle. We've done, went, and seen one. You can call up your Pentecostal friends and tell them you saw a miracle at Adam Ford Baptist Church tonight. That Brother Hall didn't preach and he let you out of service at 25 minutes till 8 o'clock. That's a miracle. Let's stand together.